Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are just, well, me, Tim, JB there.
Hello, Tim.
And Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Three fans of the game who love rugby and are here for you, well, always weekly, unlike some other people that have, you know, summers off and stuff like that.
Summers off?
I know. Crazy, isn't it? 52 weeks a year.
Ridiculous.
Did
we have a week off for Christmas, or did we power through this week? This year?
No, we haven't had a week off.
No, I don't think we have we?
No, never had a week off. So, we're here multiple times in the week for the British and Irish Lions tour. So this is the podcast reacting to the result earlier, which was 32-10 victory by the Lions against the New Zealand Maori. The last proper game before the test.
Yeah, you're right to say that.
Given that Warren Gatland's going to pretty much wrap his test side in cotton wool over the next week.
Yeah, anyone who's got any chance of being anywhere near that test side in cotton wool.
Yeah, which has thrown up one particular talking point, which we'll get to in just a minute. But JB loves a hacker.
Oh!
There was another hacker during this New Zealand Maori game. I thought I'd just share a little bit of it with you. Here we go. Let me just play a little snippet. Great. Some good moves there.
So, riddle me this, okay? I mean, I'm not a big fan of the haka. I get it. The All Blacks do it, right? The All Blacks should only do it. Or the national team, or whatever it is. Or maybe a special occasion. But, you know, as I've mentioned before, they do it for all sorts of things now. Court summonses, you know, paying your council tax.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals.
Exact christenings. You know, there's hackers everywhere. Filling up your car at the gas station. Hacker. Now, not only have they ruined it somewhat, but did you see the precision that they did that hacker with? And I thought, why are they practicing dancing when these boys can't actually get a line out in? And this is just, it's the ultimate in stupidity. And what is the wooden axe for? So far on this tour, we've had about 16 hackers and at least 27 different weapons handed over to Sam Warburton or the captain. I mean, how they're going to get through customs is beyond me.
It's like when...
anything to declare, sir?
When you're at school and you go on a little day trip to Calais, or is what my school did. We went to Calais and loads of kids got collared on the way back because they were buying fireworks and little ninja stars and stuff like that.
Ninja stars, that's going to be the next one, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a rabbit snare. This is a... It's ridiculous. The whole thing is slightly ridiculous. And there is a serious point. They must have practiced that because that's not a normal hacker, is it?
No, it wasn't. No. It was, certainly wasn't a normal hacker.
And how long would it take us three to be able to walk in a V and perform the exact same dance? It would take a while.
Fair bit of work.
We've not got the base level training that these All Blacks have, though. Even these Maori All Blacks have.
I mean, I honestly think they spent more time practicing their dancing than they did their rugby.
it did look like it from the way that they played at times.
The bit for me, as I've said before, that bothers me about the hacker isn't the pre-game hackers. I enjoy them. It's the commercial hackers, like,
hang on, isn't that what bothered me?
No, but it bothered the adverts when, like, because it happened. It happened.
I
when
know
they,
what you mean. Procter and Gamble.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When they crowbar hackers into, like, oh, there's some office workers, but World Cup, the Lions tour's on, so quick, get them somehow to, I don't know, do a.
Here's a group of mothers, advertising soap powder.
Yeah,
hacker.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what you mean.
And it was the same with the Lions tour to South Africa. When there was suddenly it was all safari based. They found different ways to crowbar safaris into everything.
Same for the World Cup as well a few years ago. Yeah, if you really love the Hakka, and some people do, and I don't mind it on occasions. I've got to say, it was very cool when we saw them doing it in training.
We saw them doing it in training. We also saw it, we were pitch side when they did it in USA, yeah, in Chicago. That was pretty impressive.
It's easy to mock because they've done it loads. But if you want to keep the institution, you want to keep it a bit special, just a bit special,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
You're going to have to relax all of the stupid forced respect laws around it, or else you're going to have more images of some people like Mako picking his ear whilst bored in front of the Hakka. And you're going to have to stop doing it in provincial games, and you're going to have to stop doing it in these novelty ways and stop doing, you know, Thriller before it. It's like having a beautiful pair of English shoes, English-made shoes, and then putting, like, diamond studs on them and jewellery and just ruining it.
Just wearing them for every single thing you do. Doing the gardening.
Yeah.
Where your church is.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to the gym. Churches. Where your church is.
Cross-country run. Churches.
Taking the bin out.
Other shoes are available.
Well, no, they're not. I mean, other dances should be available, but apparently the only thing that they do is the Hakka. So,
As for the game, takeaways then?
Mixed. I mean, they are still on this path of progression. I mean, there is no attack, is there? Can we agree on that?
Yeah, we can agree on that.
Yeah.
And interesting, and we'll talk about, if you're a Scotland fan who's very happy, and rightly so, about only the third ever victory in Australia for Scotland, we will get into that on tomorrow's podcast.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that the man who turned down being Rob Howley's assistant instantly made an impact with Scotland?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But, you know, in fairness to him, you understand why he turned it down, though?
Oh, no, I'm not saying he shouldn't have. He should never have been offered Howley's assistant.
Yeah, he should not have been the assistant role.
Yeah.
He is an international coach in his own right, and he's a hell of a good attack and skills coach.
I'm going to defend Rob Howley here. I'm going to defend Warren Gatland and say Gregor Townsend, magnificent though he is, and he certainly is, and as well as he's got this team playing, a lot of that team comes from two different teams. Oh, that Scotland team. Oh, sorry. My bad. Whereas the Lions is a completely scratched side. So I just wonder, how long would it need to be or need to take for them to get to play like Scotland do? I don't think it's that easy.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure I will accept this. It's a scratch side.
They're
a scratch side in the sense that they are don't play together regularly, but they're not a scratch side in the sense that these are the best players we have.
But they are the best players we have.
And you look at some of the key combinations, they play together a lot.
Yeah.
The line-out is Saracens.
Mm-hmm.
The halfbacks have played together. They must have 40 or 50 international caps together, Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton. So it's not... It is a scratch side, but it's not, if you get my meaning. Even Sexton and Teo must have 20 or 30 games together.
And then three of the outside backs, Jonathan Davies, George North and Lee Halfpenny.
Lee Halfpenny, yeah. Probably 40, 50 caps together.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you think that this might endanger Owen Farrell starting at 10?
So I was thinking about that today. I think that Gatland will want to keep exactly the same side except for injuries to take people out of it. I don't think even Sam Warburton or Owen Farrell will break into that starting 15 for next week's test.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So he gave that whole team played 60 minutes together.
Mm.
He didn't make a single change until 60 minutes when Cruz came off. I think he's going to start that exact team, providing none of those boys have got a knock.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I wouldn't be surprised. Farrell's injury means he will be touch and go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he won't have even if he is fit, he won't have a full week of training.
No.
They might slot him in on the bench, but yeah, I'd be surprised to see any changes from that.
Mm.
Which we were sort of talking with our test side previously, we were sort of thinking Alan Wynne-Jones would come in, but I think Kratoji,
yeah,
as a unit, were outstanding.
The scrum and the line out, 12 out of 12 scrums, 11 out of 11 line outs, and 99% ruck success as well, 105 out of 106.
I tell you what I liked today in the scrum was the patience shown by Furlong.
Yeah, that one scrum.
Yeah.
In the lead up to the penalty try.
So he takes it, and then they start encroaching gradually and build up that momentum. I was really impressed with him, actually. I wasn't sure exactly what quality of scrummager he was. I knew what he offered with his carrying game.
Yeah.
You know, like the obvious stuff, but it was interesting to watch him work. He did very well.
And interesting, yeah. Again, as you say, units and stuff, 4 out of 5 of the front five.
Saracens,
and yeah. It was the most dominant scrummaging performance we've seen on tour.
So,
yeah.
If I was going to throw a spanner in the works, I would say the guys that might not start, I think Jamie George is in genuine danger of not starting.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with the line out on scrum going as well as it did?
Yeah, I do, because I just... as he's excellent around the park normally, but he has been quiet for him.
So I think his line out is too important, because they'll have... So Cruz will be calling the line outs. Itoji will probably be there starting. I think it's too important to keep that combination together.
Yeah,
I think I see what you're saying. He's not been his usual kind of bubbly self around the park, but I think there's very little chance of him.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned, George North. That, he does not deserve a test spot.
No, he doesn't.
He's done nothing.
No, I would have Liam Williams ahead of him.
Liam Williams,
Elliot Daly.
I would have Elliot Daly ahead of him. Going into the tour, I would have liked to see Noel, but he has been...
He's not played well enough, has he?
He's been very poor. But, mind you, neither's George North. George North has done so little.
I've got a feeling George North will get the nod.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think he will get the nod. I don't think he deserves the nod.
Yeah. Liam Williams... Liam Williams is really, really good. But it does feel like Liam Williams plays to the very edge of his natural ability and continues to do so.
That's a natural ability that's already dealing with rickets.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very good player. But I kind of think that the only reason you play George North is because he's playing so within himself. And when he plays to the absolute extent of his physical ability, you know, that's how you win tests. Whether going with him for that risk is worth it.
Genuine question, when was the last time you saw George North play to the
limit
of his physical ability?
Maybe for 3 minutes against, was it Scotland?
Yeah, maybe 10 minutes in total in the Six Nations, maybe 10 minutes in total for Northampton all season.
But it does tend to be in bigger matches, international matches, Lions tours, that sort of thing. I mean, in Australia, he was very, very impressive. That was probably peak North.
Yeah.
North Pole.
Very good, JB.
Thanks, mate.
Should have.
Thank you very much. are there any other adjustments or maybe surprises for the bench?
So the only question is Sam Warburton for me. Is he fit enough, and does he deserve a starting place ahead of Omani and O'Brien?
I think it's a straight shootout now between Omani or Warburton. And whoever starts will captain.
He'll captain it.
It's going to be brutal. Because I think Sean O'Brien on the other side offers something different to them both with his carrying. It's just general monsterness.
Yeah.
Faletau is in.
Yeah, there's no way. Faletau's probably the best player on tour so far.
Yeah.
With Bentio marginally behind him.
And Stander offers more impact than probably anyone else on tour.
Yeah. So whoever doesn't start from Omani and Warburton, and I would probably have Omani, but whoever doesn't start doesn't get the bench spot, because you have to have Stander on the bench.
So difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I do agree with that, but then I'm also thinking, well, Warren Gatland, he's got his style, he's got his tactics, he's going to try and boa constrict New Zealand, put pressure on, box kick, try and get ahead and then hold a lead. This isn't going to be a Lions team that has it in them to come from behind against New Zealand.
No.
So, actually, those impact players,
well,
maybe they're less important, and maybe sort of a defensive option on the bench, which would be Warburton or Omani.
Kind of like, I know closers have been used for
Eddie
Jones, but he kind of uses...
He means that in an offensive sense.
Yeah, and maybe what you're thinking is bring people off the bench who just ruin the game completely, like Warburton, swimming through rucks.
Like
and
putting a really defensive batsman down the order.
Yeah.
Like a night watchman. Just close this out.
Who would be that for the...
That'd be Omani or Warburton would probably do that job. They'd break up the opposition ball a bit.
Yeah, so you'd see people like Warburton and Brad Barrett trotting off the
bench.
See, I actually look at it the other way. So I'm completely with you in terms of the way that Gatland is going to play his style, but I actually think as that back row player, you need to have someone who's going to carry, and I'll tell you why. Because the guys who do the hard graft hitting rooks, Omani, O'Brien, the two second rows is Todgy, Cruis.
Crutodgy.
Their level of hitting rooks is not going to drop off after 80 minutes. But the guys who are carrying the ball, Furlong, Mako, yeah. Tio, Faletau, they are going to be absolutely knackered. So you're going to need someone to come on just to actually take the load off those carriers.
Yeah, and it's like I keep on alluding to with attack. You don't need to play flowing rugby to score tries. You need to kind of manufacture. And I think if you're going to go defensive, is maybe the best way to be defensive to hold on to that ball and keep on making meters.
That's it, yeah. If you can hold the ball for... like, look at Waldrum in the final against Wasps for Exeter. He made 38 carries, just carrying over and over again. But he was carrying for a couple of yards a time.
Yeah.
Not even that. But he was just getting up and carry. And that's the kind of thing that Stander can come off the bench and do.
Yeah, Stander, Sinclair.
Ken Owens.
Jack McGrath. Yeah, Ken Owens, Jack McGrath.
So there's our five forwards on the bench.
Would you go with
Reece Webb, Owen Farrell, if fit, and
Daly for me?
Daly.
Tell you what, ish today was what's his name? Scottish fella Laidlaw. He didn't do too bad at all, and I thought I also thought what's his name looked very very lively. Bigger.
Lively.
I think so. He threw a few dummies. Let the defence rush past him through a pass. He looked all right.
Good. They can enjoy Tuesday.
Well,
have a good time Tuesday, boys.
I guess those two will play. Well, I wonder if they will play bigger because presumably he's going to have to be on the bench if Farrell's not fit.
Yeah, they'll because Finn Russell's been called into the squad as well, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah. Can we just touch on this because this has become quite a contentious talking point.
I don't know your view on this yet, Tim. Well, I do from Twitter. But I can only guess the levels of outrage that you're feeling.
Can you hear something boiling?
Yeah, somewhere.
Absolutely. Yes. So this, some people have pointed out. So again, if you've been on another planet and you haven't seen it, Warren Gatland, as was predicted, and we jokingly predicted this ages ago when we were looking at, oh look, Wales are playing Tonga in Auckland.
Oh, sorry. Can I interrupt you and give you a new angle for your conspiracy theory?
Yeah, go on.
Is it a conspiracy that Wales played on Friday morning to give them the extra day off?
I don't think so.
Ready for that test.
When which actually I will just briefly come to. That's my this is my main issue. So
you do or you don't think so?
So what? Yeah, I think probably there's no coincidence that it's deliberately done like that. Yeah. So Warren Gatland selected four players from the Welsh squad to link up with the Lions. Two players from the Scottish side to fly over from Australia and link up with the Lions. The logic being that they need bodies on the ground and bodies involved in the midweek games so that the test side can just be fully focused on the Saturday games. Logic that I completely get and I understand. What has happened, though, is it means that commentators next season are going to say in games, commentators can go, there you go, it's Cardiff Blues and British and Irish Lion Christian Dacey. It's British Lion Corey Hill. It's British Lion and third choice Exeter Chief prop Thomas Francis.
A starting Blues prop, I'll have you know.
Was your first real knowledge of the Lions and I remember seeing Lions tours, but it was that 97 Lions tour was the one that captured everyone's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think about those McGeechan speeches about how, you know, that one day you'll walk down a street, you'll see someone, you won't need to say anything, it'll just be a look, you'll know, because you went through this together, and how special it is. The Lions are special, the legends go with it. The legend, Christian Dacey. Ben Kay's perspective, I read his article in the Times, he just said it devalues the jersey and what it represents.
Yeah, so, I mean, if Gatland wins the test, it will not matter one jot. If he doesn't win the test, they'll look back at this and think it was an absolute abomination that he would do this. Disrespectful, devaluing jersey, all the rest of it.
Disruptive.
Disrupt, yeah. And, yeah, that will definitely come into it. They'll definitely start saying, oh, he disrupted the whole tour, ruined this, that and the other. It's going to depend on the test result. I think that's it, really. We can't judge whether this is good or bad until it happens.
But isn't this bigger than whether? Isn't this bigger than the actual games? Isn't this about the very nature of what the British and Irish Lions is?
No, because if the British and Irish Lions get absolutely hammered in these tests, this could very well be the last ever British and Irish Lions. Because people are going to turn around and go, well, what are we doing? No. We are sending down our best players. They're getting absolutely pummeled. They've got no chance. It's not a professional setup. It's not a sporting event. It's like McGregor Mayweather, you know. So in a weird way, if he pulls this off and he wins the tests, you could say, well, this actually might save the Lions rather than, you know, consign them to history or devalue the shirt.
The Lions is so profitable, such a spectacle, that there's no way that, the Lions are going to
Well,
win.
If you look at almost every form of restructure that World Rugby has put forward, you know, every time they look at reducing the season, there's always this one problem, and it's the Lions Tour. So, I think in the next few years, it's going to change its shape considerably anyway. But, I mean, if they got hammered, I honestly...
I think it will change the shape, they'll want to use the Lions to grow the game more generally. So what will probably happen is there'll be a warm-up game in Argentina.
I hope you're right.
Or there'll be a warm-up game against Georgia. Or the things like that will start to happen.
We're kind of looking at this through the wrong end of the telescope, aren't we? Instead of saying, why is Gatland doing this with his players, I think we should say, well, why does this game even exist? I mean, it should maybe, you should have a week longer on tour, which is going to be very difficult with scheduling. Or you say, look, you have your midweek games for the first 2 weeks, and then after that it goes onto a test footing, and you can only play weekly.
Well, hold on. Okay, so here's my big issue with it. Aside from the fact that Joe Launchbury and Johnny Gray are sat there and they've worked their nuts off for years with this as their ambition, and Corey Hill is going to pull on a Lions jersey, I would feel pig sick. But apart from that, so the difference...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Between this and 2013, because a lot of people have said, the same thing happened.
12 Trees, Barrett.
Tom Court, Shane Williams, 4 years ago.
Brad Barrett.
Shane Williams.
Billy 12
Wade?
Trees.
Yeah, the difference
Ryan
is
Grant.
Those players were brought...
Ryan Grant, that's what I couldn't remember.
Those players were brought over when there were injuries. They were injury replacements. This is not done in an injury replacement fashion.
I don't think Shane Williams was.
He was out there on holiday in Australia and...
Well, no, he was in Japan, wasn't he? Because he was playing in Japan.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's an injury replacement. I think
if they did anything like this for the final bit of the tour, it was one or maybe two players. I think that was done in an ad hoc level. Like, do you know what? You're nearby. Just get over here and hold a tackle bag in training. And this is premeditated. Warren Gatland talked about this weeks and weeks and months ago. This was muted ages ago. He planned this all along, which is why I think there's no coincidence the Wales game was on Friday, not Saturday. This was premeditated, planned, and as a result, could have been organised. And I'm sure that you could have said, Eddie Jones, Gregor Townsend, I need these players. Can you get them on a plane?
Yeah, do you know what?
Their test.
I think you're right. I think it is premeditated, and I think it's no coincidence the Wales tour is in New Zealand, and they played a day earlier than most tests are played. There's no doubt about it. But it is what it is. And, you know, can I just ask you another question? If you are one of these guys like a Launchbury, do you want to go all the way? Do you want to miss your test today, fly all the way over to New Zealand, knowing full well you're just going to be there?
If I was an injury replacement, I think that's fair, because you Warren Gatland said he had his on standby list.
Yeah,
but he hasn't actually done any injury replacements.
Yeah, it isn't injury replacement.
No, he hasn't done an injury replacement. Yeah, so he's just got half a dozen average Welsh players. and a couple, well, four average Welsh players. Well, no, Gareth Davies, that's a bit unfair on him. But
so if I was Joe Launchbury, I would jump at the chance to do it.
Yeah.
Because do you remember how much the test team changed from the first to the third test in 2009?
Yes, massively.
Alex Corbisiero, one of the best players on the Australia tour as well. Jeff Parling started tests and played really well. Ryan Jones had an amazing tour in 2005.
Yeah.
There's so many examples
Of
that.
Someone like Launchbury, if he was in that squad, he would have a chance if there was a couple of injuries of playing the second or third test.
Yeah, but I'll go back to this. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm purely speculating now because I simply don't know. But these four players flying over, they might play this test or play this game and fly home again.
They might do.
And if that is kind of the deal they've signed on to, then would you want to do that as Joe Launchbury? And I don't think you would.
Like,
if you were a genuine injury replacement, you're going to stay with the squad for the remainder of the tour, yeah, you probably would want to do that. Different scenarios, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we could be in a situation in a week's time when Kruis and Itoji both go down.
Yeah.
And you're looking at, and your next... Yeah, your next choice is Corey Hill.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, I'd put my house on the market
that they call for Launchbury.
They'll call for Launchbury. Corey Hill is not playing a test. You know, if a prop goes down, I guarantee Francis will not be playing. I mean, that is a fair shout.
I'd hope so.
I hope injuries don't test this theory. And we can leave it as a... Well, we never found out, but...
They're just there to fill some shirts.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing against a backup Chiefs team. And I think the Chiefs will probably hammer them.
Which it kind of goes back to one of the points I raised. I didn't realise it would be quite such a kind of relevant point to bring up this week. But having Thomas Francis will nonetheless, and Christian Dacey and Corey Hill, to name a few, will have a unique number. And 50 years from now, people will look at that list and they won't understand the nuances of, oh, he was just there for a week and held a tackle bag.
So when you look back through the records, so if you look on StatGuru, it only counts those players who've played a test. So if you look at the top...
Oh,
brilliant. The most caps British and Irish Lions, it's those who've played a test. When you look back through, say, Wikipedia or any of the old ones, there's like an asterisk or a called up as injury cover. Mm. So Shane Williams... So going through the players, so Shane Williams was only called up for the Brumbies match, where Simon Zeebo called up injury cover for Tommy Bowe. So there's some clarification to it, but superficially, I agree.
You still get your unique Lions number.
You will get commentators saying, Curry Hill,
Lions,
British and Irish Lion.
Lions class one, Lions second class, Lions third class, Lions fourth class.
It becomes very elitist for me.
So first class Lion is a guy.
Lion.
Is a guy who played a test regardless. Okay, regardless if he was called up or
what.
A second class Lion was selected in the original squad. A third class Lion.
So selected in the original squad but never made
injured,
a test.
Like Stuart Hogg, for example.
Yeah, although because he played a test last time.
Yeah, last time.
A third class Lion is an injury replacement who never plays in a test.
Yeah.
And a fourth class Lion is Tommy Francis and Cole.
And then fifth class for
Nickel. Andy Nickel.
No, for Dylan Hartley or Alan Quinlan,
who was
called up and never made it because they got banned.
Amazing. That's what we should do. There you go. So so it's kind of like a military ranks, lieutenant, first class, second class, or whatever they do.
Yeah.
It's Lion first class, second class, and you know what they are then. So do you know when McGeegan says, when you pass that guy on the street, yeah, you'll pass him, but then you're going to have to clarify exactly what class he was.
Or like Thomas Francis has to salute Ty Furlong.
Once again, we solve all the problems of rugby.
Sorted.
Any more takeaways from this game?
The Maori weren't very good.
That's the biggest...
As expected, I might add.
That is the biggest disappointment
for me. The big
talk-up
was this was the fourth test.
No, not for me.
So, that back line... On paper, brilliant, electric, talent right across the field.
What happened to D-Mac?
So D-Mac has hardly played any first-class rugby as a fly half.
No.
He's been an age-grade fly half, but all of his rugby has been a 15. And to me, it really showed. He didn't control that game.
I have to say, it's easy to swoon over the player names. like I did, actually. I mean, I'm very impressed with the individuals. And, you know, give these guys a couple of years together, or, you know, a test window together, they're going to be a phenomenal team. No two ways about it. But when the Lions looked at these guys, they'd have seen a mirror image of themselves 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I kind of suspected that this wouldn't be much of a test for them.
But I'm sure New Zealanders, after this game, were going, actually, not so bothered, actually. Off you go, James Lowe. Enjoy Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, quite possibly. I am surprised how badly they got beaten. I mean, I had them by 15 points. It turned out to be 22 points. So, yeah, and it's good. This is exactly the sort of points difference they're going to need if they're to stand any chance against the actual All Blacks.
Yeah, I said last week 20 to 30 points to stand a chance with the All Blacks. I actually think they'd probably need a little bit more.
Mm.
My money's still on New Zealand.
Oh yeah,
fairly comfortably.
The statistic, I mean, you went through some of the stats earlier. I can't remember if you mentioned this one, but the three clean breaks for the Lions in 80 minutes is the most concerning one, because
it's concerning for two reasons. One, it's not enough clean breaks, and they didn't finish a single one of those off.
Quite.
No, and, you know, things. They weren't helping each other, were they? They weren't running towards support.
Yeah.
The ball carrier's running away from his support.
And there's very little support actually there.
Yeah.
Actually preempted and read the break.
I think Sean O'Brien would have been in for a try if Tio would have gone the other way. And I think if George North helped out JD a little bit, that would have been a try as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's, you get very, very few chances against the All Blacks. You have to finish them. You have to take 7 points. Because every time the All Blacks all, most times the All Blacks get those chances, they will finish them off.
Well, I think the All Blacks are going to be put under enormous amounts of pressure, like they haven't been for some time.
Certainly more pressure than they were against Samoa.
Yeah, anyone...
good game for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone considering the Samoa game as a bellwether for how good the All Blacks are, misreading this situation completely.
But then equally, yes, and the Lions will not fold like Samoa did in that second half. However, what we've just talked about there, three gilt-edged opportunities to score and the Lions butchered them all. New Zealand score tries, the British and Irish Lions will never score.
Yeah, but they're also playing against a defence that they never used to play
against. I even think the way they're playing, I'm not sure the Lions would finish against Samoa in anywhere near as well as New Zealand do. This is their skills and ability to convert when they get the chances, frightening.
Yeah. But it's kind of styles make matchups. So the Lions would probably win by 40 points or, you know, some such thing.
Yeah.
Because they play differently. And it might be that style which stifles the All Blacks. I'm not saying that the Lions are going to win this test series, but I'm a damn sight more confident than I was at the start of the series.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, Ireland beat them by box kicking, defensive pressure, and taking the chances when they came.
Yes, that is the difference, isn't it?
That is it.
So they've got everything except for that taking the chances part.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that can come. I mean, you just need a good day in the office.
Yeah. I do think the Lions have a chance. I think it's a small chance, though. Are you revising your 3-0 whitewash
prediction? Well, I mean, I've got to revise my my clean sweep by the franchises or whatever they are. So I might have to revise my clean sweep of the All Blacks. I'm starting to think that they can win the first test.
Mm.
But I'm not
sure
they will.
That would make it very interesting.
Yeah.
I've just got a dreadful feeling it's going to be 3-0, and halfway through the second test, it's already over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be so depressing.
You just don't know what's... It's hard, isn't it?
And they won't throw a bone, will they? They're not going to... They won't ease up.
No,
because they have the chance. If they smell blood, they're...
And the one thing you've got to remember above everything else is how much Steve Hansen and Warren Gatland clearly and obviously they demonstrably hate each other.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Hansen, everyone lauds him as being some sort of, I don't know, upstanding pillar of the rugby community. He can be an absolute arse. I mean, he's acting like that towards Gatland at the moment, and he's often acting like that during Bledisloe Cup time. I mean, he's not really... Considering the All Blacks mantra of no dickheads, he doesn't necessarily fulfil that.
Graham Henry was quite a similar kind of character in his day, wasn't he?
He was, very spiky.
Yeah.
I mean, very hot, very cold, very... I mean,
I'm sure there's very different with the players and in the privacy, but I quite like that about... I quite like... I don't know. I think if I was a New Zealand player, I might quite enjoy his abrasiveness and his grumpiness.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm with the press.
I'm going to hand him some, a bit of a compliment. And I'll say, if I was head coach of those amazing players, God, I'd be arrogant. I mean, you couldn't get me off a microphone. I'd be making bets. I'd be running my mouth continually because my players can back it up. Bearing in mind, Steve Hansen has never had a top flight. In fact, I don't think he's ever been a head coach of anyone else other than the All Blacks and for Wales.
And
for
Wales.
2 weeks.
And his record for Wales. He never beat a tier one nation in Wales. He had a 30% win ratio.
He's never been a head coach at a club. He's kind of just ended up here.
Just bumbled his way through.
Yeah.
Fair play.
To the best job
in world rugby. And actually, he might be the best coach World Rugby's ever seen.
He's certainly, his statistical record will not be far off that, yeah.
Wow, what I would do for that group of players.
If Steve Hansen could do something that JB would love and just flip someone's passport and nationality instantly on a spreadsheet, which players do you think Steve Hansen would go on, I'll flip you over, you can be an All Black?
Do you know what? I think I'm going to say none. This isn't the answer you want, I know.
No,
I appreciate
right.
that. And I appreciate we're looking for who is the best player at this position. But just look at the All Black centres and their centre options. We talk about this all the time. Are the two centres that they're going to start with the two best in New Zealand, or are they the two best in the All Blacks team? And the difference being is the All Blacks seem to very slowly integrate people in. So I actually don't think he would go with anyone, because his team is so settled. I don't think he'd pick anyone in the world over who he's got.
I think you make a very, very good point. The only position I'd caveat that is back row at the moment, just because they're missing Kieran Reid and Liam Squire.
So Talupe Faletau and Mako Vinopola would be the two that are better than their opposite number.
I think he'd take Talupe, actually.
Yeah. Talupe or Billy or Pickamalls. Someone like that.
Yeah.
Just because... So, Ardy Survey obviously played 8. We spoke about him last week. He's a brilliant open field runner. He's not great in heavy traffic, and it will be heavy traffic against the Lions. It'll be interesting to see, actually, because there was speculation that Kieran Reid could come back because of his thumb. I've not seen anything more on that.
How bad does your thumb need to be to miss a Lions test?
Do you remember the Ewan Murray thumb incident?
Yeah, when he cut it off with an axe.
With an axe, yeah, that
oh,
bad.
Oh! He played again. Yeah. That was career threatening, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
One more thing from this game.
Go on then.
Tim, you're going to love this or hate this. The yellow card.
If you're doing that whole thing where you go letter of the law, his shoulder connected with the jaw... upper neck, lower jaw area.
Cheek. They were very clear about this.
Then it's a yellow card, but...
Red card. Well, it's a red card.
Maybe by the letter of the law, it's a red card. But
red card.
If that's what people want, fine. Go and do it. I detest it because...
I think...
It was 2 feet off the ground. It was at knee height.
Well, I think it was exemplary refereeing, actually.
I agree with that. I thought the referee and the TMO did well. I think
the referee
my
was
problem
doing
is
everything in his power, because remember he is judge too. He is who refs the ref. He's been assessed too, and he did everything in his power to reduce that from a red.
So I think if he'd have tried to wrap his arms, because the problem came because he didn't wrap his arms.
If he had wrapped his arms, he'd have took his head off.
Well, if he'd have tried to wrap his arms, they wouldn't have looked at it.
No,
they wouldn't even have bothered. You do see that a lot. We were worried when they changed the laws about the contact with the head. But it's been reffed very sensibly from that point forward. I mean, so I think if he'd have tried to wrap his arms, fine. Because he didn't, it got looked at. He didn't wrap his arms. He made contact with the head. It wasn't particularly dangerous, but it was reckless. And therefore, I think it was exactly the right call.
It was unfortunate rather than reckless.
Well, the definition of reckless is to take control out of the situation. And he did not have control in that situation.
If you don't have control...
He didn't have control over Lee Halfpenny falling over.
If you don't have control...
He definitely didn't.
And it's outside of the scope of the laws of the game, it is reckless by definition. That is a reckless act.
It was reckless that he didn't control Lee Halfpenny falling over. I agree.
Well, here is where I'd make the adjustment in the laws, which is the kind of protocol is where, was there force, is it high, And then once you've got all the information, then you look at the mitigating circumstances. I wonder if the mitigating circumstances could be made to make it even more lenient. So we know what the offence is, and he had two mitigating circumstances. One, as you pointed out, Lee Halfpenny was falling down. That was taken into account.
It was.
And I wonder if that could make it, that could go a step further and say, oh, maybe it's just a penalty.
Yeah. Well, so they have, I can't remember the exact phrasing they used, but they have given some subjectiveness to the referee's decision now.
Yes.
Which previously, the law was written, it was just black and white. Whereas now there is a little bit of a discretionary element.
Yeah, it's good because you can work out exactly what the offence is and then you can scale it back down.
Yeah.
And that to me is good reffing. The reason everyone used to go mental, including myself, is because we had no clear protocol or clear kind of reason as to why these cards have been given.
Well,
now
I wish the protocol would start from a position of it's a contact sport and you can't stop people falling over into knees or shoulders.
But I think that's exactly what they do. Feet. I think that's what the mitigating circumstances do.
If you are going to lead with your shoulder, you kind of and something bad happens.
I look forward to seeing another different part of your body that you lead with into a tackle.
Well, sorry, lead with your shoulder without attempt at wrapping the arms. That's the difference, isn't it?
I can do it.
The one that needs clarifying is rucking, leading the shoulder and rucking, because there is no other way to do it.
Well, so the way it's written is you must bind immediately. It's either before or immediately as you make contact with the shoulder.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
That. So that's...
So many people kind of bind underneath as well. So if you hit them correctly, it looks like a swinging arm. If someone goes flying, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that needs... Anyway.
Good they made the most of the yellow card.
Good refereeing. Fine, and enough. Most important thing about the refereeing, he is the referee for the first test. I like our chances.
Well, especially when we learned how to play him a bit in the second half.
15 penalties to 4, I think it finished up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, 4 penalties, I think it's the same number as when Ireland beat the All Blacks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a great fact.
It's very, very low. If you can get away with finishing an international test match with giving away only 4 penalties...
It's as low as Lee Halfpenny's head was when he got tackled.
Talk H only conceded 4 penalties in our first league match last year, just saying.
Just like the Lions and Ireland, then?
Correct. Wow. Very similar in a lot of ways.
I think we've knocked this one out of the park, haven't we? So we'll be back with the normal podcast, which will cover off all the international games. Of course, England play Argentina later tonight as we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the Wales game, we've got the Ireland and Scotland games and...
England.
England, yeah. And all the other stories other than the Lions. And then I don't think we'll bother with a preview podcast. We're not going to bother with a preview podcast for the... Or a post-match reaction
maybe
podcast.
Maybe a preview, but definitely not a post-match.
Or maybe the other way around. Definitely no preview no specific Lions preview for the midweek game. But if something amazing happens or noteworthy happens, then we'll do a podcast. Otherwise, we'll just leave it all for the test.
That's what
Warren Gatland seems to be doing. So yeah,
we will podcast suit. When the team is announced as well.
Hell yeah, which may well just be a hour-long T.O. Horn.
I know I've asked this before. Some of you have answered me on Twitter. I'm off to Barcelona for the first test. So if anyone's out there and knows of a pub where I can watch this test comfortably and in the style that I'm now accustomed to, please get in contact immediately.
So espresso martinis and an 80-inch TV.
Minimum.
Preferably at least 100 feet above ground level.
100
feet above street level.
It's got to be above street level.
Yeah.
Right. So we subscribe on. We've got to stop calling it iTunes. It's now Apple Podcasts.
I don't know the difference, mate. What is the difference? Don't tell me.
It's called Apple Podcast now.
But yeah, they're the same thing.
The same thing, but it's different names. So subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Acast. Leave your reviews on the Apple Podcast app, and we could read yours out on our next podcast. Till then. In a bit.
Totes amaze. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.